Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 53 degrees, 411 on this Tuesday, April 15th, 2025. Before the top of the hour, if you heard our call with Giuseppe from Jessup, coming up after the break, we're going to have Ollie from Oliphant and Eddie from Einan. So stay tuned to the Rob O'Donnell Show for all that. But because it's Tuesday, and like every Tuesday, we're going to bring our friend Tommy Marquez, a Navy veteran, a senior staffer in Congress for many years, and now he helps our veterans navigate that system. Tommy, how's things going, my friend?
Oh, man, I'm up against it, Rob. It's tax day. I haven't even begun opening up my books. My accountant, we got a call scheduled for about 2 or 3 hours. I try to tell my wife I can't do it because I got Rob's show. I got to find out what's going on with Giuseppe. Is he okay? Is he going to make it?
He's suffering. He's suffering. He couldn't tell me why or how, but he's suffering. So.
Yeah. He's suffering hard. He needs to go get checked in there for that TDS. It's bad in certain areas. I'll tell you where it's not bad is here in Texas. It is not bad here, but in California where I was, it was rampant.
I was going to say, you got yourself a couple more hours there being in Texas for this tax day, but I saw you were in D.C. What any happenings there?
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and I was trying to get with some of the people in DOGE to get information on what's going on with the VA and these contracts. So it's kind of interesting, Rob. Do you remember at the very beginning they were telling us we were doing show after show after show where I was just addressing that they're not going to cut VA benefits? Because I was being reported on social media and on X, which I'm old, so I still call it Twitter. But all those kinds of rumors were out there, and we were talking about it. And now what's coming out is DOGE isn't cutting VA benefits. DOGE is actually saving and finding money for veterans to get the services that they paid for with their service, their military service, and their families as well. I don't know if you saw this, Rob. And I was trying to track it down, and now it is confirmed. In D.C., I had heard this all throughout the halls, that DOGE had found a $15.3 million contract a year that was replaced by a $3.9 million contract. And what they found was that the market price of this contract was significantly lower everywhere else, and they were basically paying somebody $380,000 a month at the VA to do survey work and minor website modifications that were also being showed to be done internally at the VA. And when they found out, this took about a VA employee about 10 hours a week. So they added it to a VA employee's duties, and then they removed this contract for the surveys, and they saved veterans about $11.1 million. And immediately, people were up in arms at both sides. You had people who actually care about veterans and the services that they're getting, and they were up in arms that this contract had ever existed. And listen, everyone is to blame. This isn't a Democrat blame game scenario with this contract. This is everyone's responsibility that this contract existed so far significantly over the market price. Imagine going to McDonald's and they charge you, you know, you go up and you order a Happy Meal for your kids or whatever, and they charge you, you know, literally 150 times more than what it is for everyone else, you would be irate. You wouldn't accept it, right? But this is going on constantly at the VA, so they found out about this contract and put it in. Now, on the other side, there's people who are upset saying, hey, this isn't right that they're able to look at these contracts. You know, there was a contract in place that they have to honor the contract. I am usually on that. If there's a contract in place, you should honor the contract, except when it comes to the taxpayer. And keep in mind, these are the same people who we had tons of contracts on the books to build a wall, and they got rid of all those contracts. All right. So when it comes to the general public and taxpayer money and servicing our veterans, I just think that it needs to be corrected. And I'm super happy that they found this. And this idea that $11.1 million is not a lot of money. I mean, maybe that's,
This is a single contract in a single department. So you start putting these things together, and it is a lot of money. And listen, no one out there, especially in your and my demographic, is going to say, why should we pay $15.3 million for something that could be done for $3.9 million? And like you said, this goes on for decades. This goes on from administration to administration. No one reviews these things. No one looks at these things. It's just the way it's been. It's the way we always do things. It's the way we always did things. Why am I going to look into it and rock the boat? Who knows who initiated that contract? They may be somebody higher up in the government. They may be one of their friends who has that contract. I'm not going to bring a spotlight on this. We all know how this goes.
Oh, absolutely. To think, you know, $11 million, $11.1 million, you know, because even if I got $100,000, I think you and me both, Rob, and everyone, I think, probably listening to your station, we got $11.1 million right now. We'd be pretty dang happy. things would be good. You know, I'm Mexican, so for me, I wouldn't be happy for long, because it wouldn't take very long for my family to find out, and they'd all be calling me with a handout. But
that goes for any family, my friend. That goes for any family.
When you got 18 brothers and sisters, it's real bad. But this is what we had for Joe. This is what we wanted with a president who was a businessman. We wanted a businessman to come in here and to clean house on all this wasteful spending. They're finding millions and millions of dollars and billions of dollars in wasteful spending in certain agencies. And we're also finding out that a lot of these buildings that are being used and upkept, that they are wasting money on that too. And they're looking at getting rid of a lot of these buildings and renting some of those spaces. So I'm really excited, and I'm going to be back in D.C. again next week. I've been monitoring a lot of stuff that's going on at the VA. I'm hoping to have a big report for everybody here real soon, but we'll see. But there's a lot going on, and let me tell you, I am a lobbyist, and I am in those halls, and I am at the clubs afterwards, and there are so many people shaking in their boots in the lobbying world, and they're telling me, hey, my clients are worried. My clients are upset. They worry that, hey, the deals ain't there anymore. They got to be more diligent with the taxpayer money. There has to be more accountability, and all these things are being forced onto them. And I shake my head and I tell them, that's tough. But in my mind, and I even mention it sometimes, I say, well, this is the new administration. This is what people voted for. It's a shame that it ever got this far, that people thought that this wasn't ever going to occur. And we need a clean house and get money. I'm not against spending money, but I want money spent in the right way. And DOGE is doing that.
Yeah, and it's one part of what's going on. You also have the secretaries and directors themselves streamlining things, doing the decisions they're making, letting people go, changing a personnel. It's a process. It's a process that's going to take some time. So let's see where we are at the end of the fiscal year to see what was saved, what wasn't saved, and how we could do better. There's always room for improvement. And the thing is, government never seemed to try, and at least they're trying.
Yeah, it's a really good sign. If we could find something, and keep in mind, DOGE has really only been working 37 days, I think it's been, where they went in, and they went into the VA about 37 days ago, and they found about $1 billion in savings already. With $1 billion, imagine the services we could be giving to our veterans and their families. And imagine that for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, SNAP. I just heard the report on your show, one of the commercials about the MAHA movement, getting rid of soda for SNAP. And I have to tell you, I am so in favor of that. I have been recently cutting out soda out of my diet, and I've lost a significant amount of weight getting rid of the sugar. And people will then say, well, Tommy, you're a hypocrite. You drink soda. Why shouldn't the people on SNAP drink soda? Well, I'll give you why I'm not a hypocrite. I'll give you the reason behind that. It's because I'm paying for my soda. Okay, I'm buying it with money that I went out and worked for. If you're getting my money, then I want you to drink something healthier. You better be healthier than me with my money. That's always my mindset on those things. So I'm happy to see things like this happening in our government.
Sounds good. So you're back in D.C. in a couple weeks, you said?
I'll be back there next week, and then I'm going home to San Diego to see my brand-new grandson. And then, Rob, I got to get out to your place and do a show there so we could talk VA benefits with some people, and then hopefully I could bring in maybe the secretary of the VA or somebody from HVAC. I was with Congressman Van Orden last week talking a lot about the House Veteran Affairs Committee and some of the things that are going on there. He's doing a remarkable job, him, Congressman Luttrell, Chairman Bost. We're seeing a lot of improvement at the VA because of their leadership.
Absolutely. They're always welcome here. We got three chairs in the studio besides mine, so get them in anytime you want, Tommy.
Thanks, Rob.
Tommy, how can my listeners follow you on your social media?
Well, you can always find me at Tommy Marquez Consulting. I'm on YouTube. I keep wanting to say Twitter right there. It's so hard for me to say X, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. At Tommy Marquez Consulting.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the family in the meantime.
Thanks, Rob. Take care.
Take care, my friend. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 428 here, 52 degrees on this Tuesday, April 15th, 2025. Jake, when I was listening to the radio on the way in today, the Sue Henry Show, which you so proudly produces there, she was talking about AI helping people talk to their dogs. Now, was that one of the true stories?
Oh, ChatGPT?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually true.
So I was wondering, maybe ChatGPT can help Giuseppe talk to his cat. Maybe it'll help calm him down. So, I mean, if it's possible out there, maybe that would be the relaxing force he needs in his life. Just saying. Because, listen, we joke around with it, and you have to. You have to. And I got all the text messaging on it. I really didn't want to dwell on how we were suffering. But listen, if he truly feels that way, you know, maybe, like I said, and I was 100% serious, he needs to talk to someone. And anyone does. If politics is bothering you that much, you need to find it out to where it's going to be beneficial for your health, first of all, your well-being, your family, those around you, those listening on the radio. I mean, there's a whole plethora of help that could come from it. This story, I got the story today, and it's interesting because I got a text message giving me this information from a friend of mine in law enforcement in Minnesota. So I was getting real-time texts as this was going on. But months after the CEO's killing of United Healthcare, yesterday there was a reported intruder, and it wasn't just reported, there was an intruder who was arrested near the United Healthcare headquarters. Now, there's a story on it, but I'm going to give you direct from the scene some information I got. Large law enforcement presence, including several local departments and the FBI, responded to the area northwest of Highway 169, currently negotiating with a male suspect inside a vehicle who claims to be armed with a pistol. The male has reportedly made several threats and has so far refused to exit the vehicle. According to radio dispatches, the suspect is requesting $1 million and to be let go. The incident location is just west of the United Healthcare building on Healthcare Lane. Several other nearby businesses have been locked down, with those inside advised to shelter in place. Multiple Metro SWAT teams have been paged to assist with negotiation, and attempts are still underway. In the next text, I got that the suspect was in custody and a gun was recovered. So I was getting that yesterday real time, but because it was real time, even though we're in a different part of the country, I didn't find it proper to put out because it was an ongoing tense situation. Who knows? Maybe he's not suffering and he was listening to the Rob O'Donnell Show. Didn't want to give him any information. But in all honesty, we're seeing a lot of this go on. People not handling things, celebrating these types of individuals, making excuses for them, lowering bail for murderers, people acting out. They arrested that Tesla arsonist who has purple lips somehow. Don't know how that happens, but he's got purple lips. Obviously an angry person, had multiple incendiary devices at his residence, had spray paint and stencils targeting Tesla, ICE, and other entities. A lot of angry people out there, and some of them are acting out on it. And we need to do something there. We definitely need to do something there. So that's an update on another, not direct targeting, but somebody went to the healthcare, United Healthcare facility right outside on the healthcare way, because I guess there's a bunch of healthcare entities there, demanded $1 million and to go free. Well, if you just didn't demand anything and hold a gun to yourself, you would have been able to go free from the start. It's 4:32 here at WILK. It's time for the news with our friend Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice on this day, April 15th. On this day, two Pennsylvania heroes made the ultimate sacrifice. We're going to start off with police officer James Kenneth Armstrong, Bensalem Township Police Department. In 1975, on this day, was shot and killed during a felony traffic stop of a suspect who had committed an armed robbery at Bristol Township. Suspect shot and killed Officer Armstrong and seriously wounded his canine partner during the stop. 29-year-old suspect fled to Philadelphia, where he was arrested 3 weeks later. He was convicted of murdering Officer Armstrong and sentenced to life in prison. In 1998, he was denied a new trial. Next, we have police officer William Duros, Philadelphia Police Department in 1960. Suffered a fatal heart attack shortly after being involved in a vehicle pursuit. He collapsed shortly after returning to the police station at the intersection of 39th Street and Lancaster Avenue. He was a U.S. Navy veteran, served with the Philadelphia Police Department for 10 years. He was survived by his wife, daughter, and son. Again, that was April 15th, 1960. And those are our two from our area. And I have seen that that our local law enforcement have been quite busy indeed. And I just want to bring up the thing we had yesterday for the Lackawanna County SWAT team. They're having their purse bingo at the Circle Drive-In Saturday, May 17th, 2025. You can contact them on their social media. You can go by the Blakely Police Department, the Dunmore Police Department, get some information on that, get your tickets for it, because they will have very few at the door because this is their big fundraiser. They also have great tumblers, the big 32-ounce, you know, hot or cold tumblers. They have bigger, the big ones, the big cold drinks, and the coffee ones, a little smaller, 8 ounces, I believe, or 12 ounces. You could check them out and help. It says you're a supporter of the Lackawanna County SWAT. Great tumbler to have. I'm going to get myself two of them myself. So if you could support the Lackawanna County SWAT team, we had those guys in yesterday. You can listen. Somebody texted in, hey, Rob, each show available in audio podcast, older versions also. Yes, indeed. Thanks for checking that in with that. You can get all the Rob O'Donnell Show podcasts. You just go to anywhere you get your podcast. If you get your podcast at Spotify, Apple Podcast, you can get them from the Odyssey app. I post a link on my social media often, but you go to anywhere you get your favorite podcast and you just search The Rob O'Donnell Show. You will find us there and you can go back for the two and a little, almost 2.5 years that I've been here. You can get every podcast that we've put out. They're broken down into some segments. If I have an interview, we have like a 12 or 15 minute segment. If not, half-hour segments to where you get each hour of the show so you can listen to everything and go back. They have titles there so you could easily find dates if you missed a show, so you could check them out there. So I appreciate that text. But yes, the Rob O'Donnell Show here, terrestrial, is turned into podcasts, and you can get it or find it anywhere you get your favorite podcast. So I appreciate that. It is 4:40 here at WILK, time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Here's the Storm Tracker 16 forecast from Chief Meteorologist Kurt Aaron. Tonight, some gusty winds, colder temperatures, maybe some snow showers, a low of 35. Don't tell my wife that. She's going to make me leave. Wednesday, partly sunny and colder with a few light showers, flurries, high 53. Wednesday night, mostly clear, breezy and cold, low of 32. Thursday, mostly sunny and warmer, high 60. Friday, mostly cloudy with some spotty showers, high 65. Saturday, cloudy, breezy, and warm with scattered showers possible in the afternoon, high 75. Sunday, mostly cloudy with some spotty showers, high 65. It is currently 51 degrees here at 441 at your official weather station, WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we have been? On this day, April 15th, marks several pivotal moments in U.S. history encompassing events of tragedy, triumph, and transformation. Here's an overview of significant occurrences on this day. Now, yesterday, 1912, we talked about it, was the day that the Titanic struck the iceberg. Well, today's the day that it sank. the early hours of April 15, 1912, the RMS Titanic sank in the North Atlantic after striking an iceberg during its maiden voyage from Southampton to New York. 1,500 passengers and crew perished in one of the deadliest maritime civilian disasters in history. Tragedy exposed crucial flaws in maritime safety regulations, notably the insufficient number of lifeboats, that led to significant changes in international maritime law. 1947, Jackie Robinson breaks the baseball's color barrier. On this day in 1947, Jackie Robinson made his Major League Baseball debut with the Brooklyn Dodgers, becoming the first black player in modern era to play in the majors. His courageous entry into the professional baseball challenged racial segregation and paved the way for future generations of athletes. In honor of his legacy, Major League Baseball established Jackie Robinson Day in 2004, celebrated annually on April 15th, during which all players wear his iconic number 42. 1865, the assassination of President Abraham Lincoln. I believe, again, he was shot yesterday. Succumbed to those wounds today. President Abraham Lincoln succumbed to gunshot wounds on April 15th, 1865, after being shot by John Wilkes Booth the previous evening at Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C. His death occurred just days after the end of the Civil War, purging the nation to mourning and uncertainty during the early stages and Reconstruction. You know, I want to pause there, because this was 1865, and we're seeing a lot of that very same anger, those emotions today in the things, the discourse that we're having. And you think those 150, 170 years, we would have learned to cope with our differences better. It doesn't appear so, because just today, arresting individuals that were threatening to kill Tulsi Gabbard and her husband, threatening individuals to kill the president, attack and set fire to the governor's mansion here in Pennsylvania, setting Tesla dealers and targeting Tesla owners. It's just shows how far we haven't come. 2013, the Boston Marathon bombing. During the annual Boston Marathon on April 15th, 2013, two homemade bombs detonated near the finish line, killing three spectators and injuring more than 260 others. The attack led to a massive manhunt and raised concerns about domestic terrorism, public safety at large-scale events. Something we're still dealing with if we just saw what happened in New Orleans. 1955, the first McDonald's franchise opens. K-Rock opened the first franchised McDonald's restaurant on April 15, 1955 in Illinois. This event marked the beginning of a global fast food empire that revolutionized the food service industry, with its emphasis on efficiency, consistency, and franchising. Again, this was the first McDonald's franchise, not the first McDonald's. And Tax Day. We talked about that. Tax Day in the United States, April 15th, traditionally recognizes Tax Day in the United States, the deadline for individuals to file their federal, state, and local income tax returns. While the date can shift due to weekends and holidays, it remains a significant annual event affecting millions of Americans. Also, it doesn't affect millions of Americans, which is probably part of the problem. That's our Today in History on this day, April 15th. I did get an update. I just did a little search on what was going out in Dallas, Texas. The Wilmer Hutchins High School in Dallas, Texas. Authorities are saying at least four are injured in the shooting. Witnesses are reporting hearing seven shots during that active shooter at a school. A high school there in Dallas, Texas, the Wilmer Hutchins High School. They are now reporting CBS News, the local CBS News affiliate, is reporting at least four injured after that shooting. Police have not provided information on the suspect's identity or if an arrest has been made. Dallas police responded just after 1 p.m. local time, which would have been 3 p.m. our time. Report of an active shooter situation. At 2:20 local time, there was no active threat and the school campus had been secured. According to the Dallas Fire Department, at least two of the victims were shot with injuries initially believed to be non-life-threatening. Three victims were taken to local hospital. So that's what's being reported. According to law enforcement sources who spoke with CBS News Texas, a student is wanted after allegedly firing a gun inside the school campus. So it does not say that he's in custody, but they are saying the scene is secure. So do they have him in custody? It's unknown. I would say it would still be active if the person was not in custody. So, we're monitoring it there. Looking at some photos now, somebody says, is it me, the guy who firebombed the government mansion, kind of looked like Abe Lincoln? Well, he kind of looked very disheveled with the beard grown and kind of very thin and drawn, but definitely a bunch of issues. He was out on bail. The guy who firebombed the governor's mansion was out on bail for another crime. Just goes to show you how our judicial revolving door is putting us all in danger and could have been very tragic down there. Thankfully, it wasn't. It's 4:50, coming up on 4:52 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 52 degrees here, just about 4:55 on this Tuesday, April 15th, 2025. I just did see that the Navy Midshipmen football team, the winners of the Commander-in-Chief Trophy, are at the White House right now presenting the president with a jersey, a game ball, and a championship ring. He is acknowledging and presenting the Commander-in-Chief Trophy to the Navy Midshipmen football team for beating both Air Force and Army this year. It's an annual event. That trophy will be back in Annapolis for at least a year where it belongs. Love seeing it there in the rotunda when you come in. Matter of fact, I will be seeing it in just a few weeks because I'll be down there for my daughter's graduation. But the president did have there are videos of it, and you can check that out. I'll probably share some of them later on my social media. But he's in one of the big ballrooms with the entire team, the coaching staff, the leadership of the Naval Academy, and the military, the Navy. He invited the entire team to the Oval Office after the event. He says, I got something special for y'all. I want y'all to come to the Oval Office. So that's a 55-person roster there with the coaching staff, and that's about 80 people altogether. So they're going to be in the Oval Office. And if you've ever been in the Oval Office, and I've had the pleasure of being there once, it is not very big. It is not very big at all. As a matter of fact, it's probably the size of Jake's control room in my studio put together, maybe a little bit bigger. So it's going to be interesting to see those big boys fit into the Oval Office. But I'm looking forward to it. But he is holding a game ball here. I was watching some of the video. He told them all to at ease when he was standing there. He turned around. He says, everybody at ease. He goes, don't pay attention to them. And he made a reference over to the upper echelon of the Navy. He goes, I'm your boss. I want you all to relax and have a good time. So it was good to see that. And these young men absolutely deserve it. I've had the pleasure to seeing them. I know some of them, interacting with them. They are some of the most humble, well-spoken, educated, gentle giants you will ever meet. And they are our future leaders in our military. Navy football is a big deal, especially in the Navy, especially at the Academy or just, force-wide. I know the ships, watch it when they're out deployed. When they can, it's a good break for them. I've been to most home games. I plan on continuing to go to most home games. It's truly a unique place to be. And if you've never been to a game in Annapolis, Maryland at Navy Marine Corps Stadium or Mikey Stadium in West Point, I highly recommend. I don't care what your team is. I don't care if you like pro or college football. I don't care what your college team is, what your alumni is, where you went to school. You want to experience a game at West Point. You want to experience a game at the Naval Academy. It's like no other. Now, obviously, I'm biased, having two children who've gone to the Naval Academy. And like I said, it's just a place that I love to go to. Once football season starts and they have their first game, usually the end of August or early September, Their September, their 9/11 game is always something special. The flyovers, the pageantry, the march on, where you have 4,000 midshipmen march onto the field in their companies and salute the crowd. It's just something you'll never see. The tailgating, no matter who they're playing, the camaraderie between the teams, the mingling of the tailgates, where the traveling team in the away team comes and just joins the Navy tailgates, the family tailgates, like it's one big happy family. I've never seen an atmosphere like that before anywhere else. Some games of note is anytime Navy plays Notre Dame. My first Navy game was seeing them play Notre Dame, and that was my wife got me tickets for our anniversary for my son and I to go to Notre Dame and see my first Notre Dame home game. And they were playing Navy. And in hindsight, because my son was still in high school, the Naval Academy wasn't even on the radar yet, it was such a meaningful game looking back on that, to where I have the tickets with a Notre Dame game ball with my Navy helmet in a display case in my den. Just something that means a lot. So it was great to see these young men being recognized by the Commander-in-Chief, the command staff at the Naval Academy. Looking forward to graduation in just a couple of weeks, less than a month now. It's an entire week of ceremonies, so I will be off that week in the end of May for my daughter's graduation, because each day is something else. There's parades and the Blue Angels and the Marine Corps Ball and the graduation ball and then the graduation itself. So it's something to look forward to. It's a great achievement for my daughter, great achievement for our family. So coming up on 5 o'clock here on WILK, we'll be back.